or lease from...
The royalty of college football is in assembly.
Oh, my gracious.
Yep.
How about that?
We just stepped on their face with a hot nail thinking off their nose.
Welcome to the College Football Country Podcast. My name is Josh Parcell, founder of College Football Country. Visit cfbcountry.com for the voice of college football fans everywhere. And today is a very cool episode for you guys. It's the Barstool Sports Takeover. Caleb Presley, he hosts Young and Happy, the podcast for Barstool Sports. Also the host of Barstool Fifth Year on Snapchat Discover. That's a really cool show. If you haven't seen it, check it out every Friday and Saturday on Snapchat. Also, Julie Stewart Binks, the newest host on Barstool Sports, the first female host as well. She hosts the Barstool Tailgate Show every Saturday on Facebook Live, and I found out she's going to be in Blacksburg this weekend for the biggest game of the week in college football. And if you've been following me on Twitter, you know I can't wait for it. It's Virginia Tech and Clemson this Saturday night at 8 o'clock. I'm getting down there Thursday. It is going to be outrageous. If you're going to be in town this weekend, please hit me up on Twitter at Josh Parcell. Slide into those DMs. Would love to see all you guys at some point this weekend. Hopefully you find me before I've had two or three rails. I can't make any promises, but try and find me if you can. Would love to see all you guys out there for the game if you're going to be in town. Otherwise, thanks for listening. Please rate the podcast on iTunes, 5 stars. Give it a review as well. We have 69 5-star ratings right now. 69. Nice. Thank you guys. Really appreciate that. But would love to see some more. Would especially love to see that this weekend. So tune in later this week. I'm going to have a lot of coverage on the Virginia Tech Clemson game. Not only is it the biggest weekend of the last 20 years for Virginia Tech, but it's the spotlight of college football this week. It's really the only big game going on in college football. And it's a huge game for the ACC, huge national championship implications, huge college football playoff implications. It's going to be wild. It's going to be outrageous. So cannot wait for that game on Saturday night. I'll be covering it on cfbcountry.com. Check out my full preview on Thursday. You're going to love it. Also, we're going to have more podcasts coming your way in the next few days. And we'll be up in Blacksburg on Friday for an in-person podcast, I'm hoping, with some special guests. So stay tuned for that. Can't announce them just yet, but I'm very hopeful you guys are going to like it. So now let's get to the interviews. I've got Caleb Presley first, and then we're going to skip over to Julie Stewart Binks. You guys are going to love these interviews. Caleb was a lot of fun. And we talked tailgating scenes. We talked best fraternities to visit across the country. All sorts of weird stuff. Caleb's a really funny guy. You guys are going to enjoy it. And then Julie's going to come on and talk about how she's learning college football on the fly. We're going to give her some lessons and give her some tips on what to do when she gets to Blacksburg this weekend. So thanks for listening. College Football Country Podcast continues now with Caleb Presley from Barstool Sports. All right, and now I welcome on Caleb Presley, Barstool Sports. He hosts the Fifth Year Show on Snapchat Discover and also Young and Happy, the podcast, and all around just literally taking over the world, it seems like, every day at a time. So, Caleb, man, I am so excited to have you on. We go back a little bit of ways. We'll get into that here in a second. But first of all, man, how you doing? You seem busy.
Doing good. Let's get into how you know me and how I know you, because it's a fabulous story, and I think the people are going to want to hear.
Okay, so first of all, I can't take complete credit for what I'm about to say, but I got you onto ESPN about, what, like 3 years ago now, 2 or 3 years ago, and I came across you on YouTube. And you were doing YouTube man on the street videos. My buddy, now this is actually a friend of the podcast, Rossi Three Stacks. He's a guy who comes on my show every Friday. He's a big UNC fan, and he spends like half his day on like Inside Carolina, the message boards that every UNC fan wastes their day
Poor
on.
Guy.
Yeah. And that's how he found you. And he sent me to you. And then like a year and a half later, I was at ESPN, and I remembered. I said, I'm trying to think, like, I want to be different. I want to find something, like, unique. Well, there's not a whole lot of things in college football that are more unique than you. And at the time, you were supervisor of morale at UNC, very highly esteemed position. And I found you and brought you in. You can kind of take it from there, but that's how I found you in the first place. It wasn't just me. It was my friend Ross. He is the one who is the true hero in this story.
Yo, shout out to my guy, Rossi Three Stacks. Classic Rossi being on Inside Carolina. No, listen, you found me. You pulled me out of the weeds, and you put me under the bright lights. And to that, I'm forever thankful. Now I have a full-time job. Barstool Sports, I have a full-time job doing real cool stuff, videos, podcast radio. I get to be on your podcast. It's all because of you. So to you, I'm forever thankful, and to Ross.
Just for the people who don't know and haven't seen what this Snapchat show is all about, I mean, where have you been so far? I mean, what are you guys doing every week?
Well, the Barstool Fifth Year show was first titled, this is an inside exclusive for you. This is no one knows.
Oh.
It was originally titled Barstool Tech University State. No, Barstool State University Tech.
Yeah. Okay. Let's make sure we got it right. All right. It was the second one.
That was the working title when we were developing the show.
Okay.
And it kind of all stemmed from this. I'm just going to give you a full exclusive, Josh.
There we go. We're breaking news on this show. This is what I like.
Listen, so this winter, I think it was like maybe February through April, I was developing a TV show idea that I wanted to put on TV. I wanted to do basically, have you ever seen Nathan For You?
The YouTube guy, right?
No, he has a show on Comedy Central.
Then no, I haven't seen him.
It's really funny. Anyways, all you need to know about it is this is a guy who goes around and he basically, under the guise of fixing small businesses, he says, hey, I'm going to fix your small business through these, kind of out there marketing techniques, but I promise they're going to work. Excuse me, I got hiccups, but he's like, I promise you, you just got to trust me. And he brings in the TV crew and suggests to these small businesses that need help, these outlandish marketing strategies that are so funny, and the people buy into them, they let them do it, and then he basically brings it full circle. It's a really great show. I would highly recommend it. It's called Nathan For You. Anyways, it's kind of ridiculous because he I'm trying to think of an example. Have you ever heard of the dumb Starbucks idea where he went into a coffee shop and he said, listen, the only way that you're going to ever turn this coffee shop into, the next Starbucks is you don't have any branding. And he's like, and the best branding out there for coffee right now is Starbucks. So what we're going to do is you are going to use Starbucks branding for your coffee shop. And you're just going to call it Starbucks and you're going to have green labels on the white cups. Like literally, you're just going to be Starbucks. And then they did it. They actually did it under the parody law rule, which states that if you're doing a parody in an art installation, you can use someone else's name. So they use Starbucks under the parody law art installation rule. They changed the from a business to art installation, and basically they just called it Dumb Starbucks. And it was a national story. It went viral before people even knew it was a TV stunt. Just wild stuff like that. So my idea was to do something similar to that, but do it for football, for college football, for sports, where not so much we're helping the business, but basically my idea was like we're gonna help create like viral marketing campaigns for the schools, because nowadays with all the signing days and like people, the commitments, like signing up on Twitter, they're like, when they make the commitment, they're on Twitter with the huge posts with the notes, and they're using like the little emojis for what school they pick. Or if you got Bleacher Report going to make a commitment video, like these ridiculous, crazy viral marketing schemes. So my idea was to do something similar to that, but kind of make them outlandish. Trying to get that going. And it was all around college football and all these ideas. And it just never came to fruition on TV. We hit it with a couple different places with it, and it wasn't getting traction. All of a sudden, we saw this avenue with Snapchat. And Snapchat obviously is competing heavily with like Instagram right now for attention and for views and for users. And they have a huge, huge user database. It's not like, oh, they're going out of business. It's more of like Instagram's, they're starting to steal Snapchat stuff. So one of the ways they're combating that is they're starting to do original programming. And on original programming, when I say I have a Snapchat show, it's not just like a story. Like you don't go on there and just watch a story that I've curated or made. It's a fully produced show. And Barstool Fifth Year is a college football tailgating show where we go and we just cover the college football tailgates in like a fun a way that is pretty much to everybody. So anybody can watch. You don't have to know anything about college football, football in general. You don't have to be a sports fan. You like the show. We use the avenue of the new Snapchat original program, which is like a 4-minute program. It's perfect. It's short. It's tight. It goes to a huge user database. So we got millions of people watching every week. And it's something we're really excited about, and we think it's going to be what already has been really great, and we think it's going to continue to be really great. And that's what I think I'm most excited about is that it's on Snapchat, so it's vertical. So So on the phone, when you watch it, you watch Snapchat only on your phone. You can't watch it on a computer. Everything is fills up your screen, which is a vertical screen. That's the new way videos are going to be consumed and made. So we're kind of ahead of the curve making an entire show for vertical, which I think is something you're going to see in the future. So I think that on top of it being college football, something I've been working on for months, finally coming out in some way and getting millions of people to watch it, it's also forward thinking, it's progressive, and it's a really cool project to be a part of.
I mean, you sound like a company man, like user database, like all these big words you're using.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I was like thinking of some things. I didn't know what your demographic was.
This isn't like a job interview. Like I'm not an advertiser. What the hell are you doing?
I don't know who I'm talking to right now. I'm just trying to throw in some random words.
Well, you know who you're talking to, Caleb. You're talking to a lot of Virginia Tech fans, and you guys have been to USC. You've been to Georgia. Are you coming to Blacksburg this week or not?
No.
Come on.
No,
Virginia the hell is Tech wrong sucks. With you?
No. Listen, I've never been to Virginia Tech outside of football, like when I was playing at Carolina. So I don't really know much about the campus. I know that our show is really, like it's all focused around, like we want to see parties. We want to see, you know, a great fraternity life. We want to see great tailgating, people who care about the game. But also it's more, I know what you guys do inside of what's your stadium called?
Lane Stadium.
Lane Stadium. I know that's great, but I haven't really heard, and I'm being honest with you, Josh, I haven't heard great things about the campus life, and I haven't heard great things about the party scene. And there are so many schools to hit that have great reputations that I don't want to take a chance. And that's just honest. That's a completely transparent answer. I know it's a big game. I know the stadium's going to be rocking, but I don't want to take a chance on like bad party vibes.
Right.
Bad
no, party. That's fine. That's bulletin board material for next year. We're going to put that up. We'll remember that.
I mean, who's going to look at the bulletin board? Like the freshman fraternity bros? Like, oh, Caleb says that we don't have a good frat life. Like, I don't think they care. My favorite school is Tennessee. I played for North Carolina, but I grew up a Tennessee fan. I'm still a Tennessee fan. Obviously, a Tar Heel, but Tennessee's terrible. Tennessee's the worst one that we've been to.
Really?
Yeah, Tennessee's bad. I mean, Georgia, I don't think Athens is great. And everyone
really?
Loves Athens. So, I mean, I've been doing this, and you said we were going to talk about it. Basically, the last 2 years since I've stopped playing college football, I've toured college football, and whether it's been for Barstool, just Barstool. Last year, we had an ad deal with Natty Light, who sponsored it. This year, obviously, it's Snapchat. I've been to a lot of schools. It's not like all colleges aren't the same. Like, that's what I thought when I was in college. I was like, every college pretty much like this. Kids like to party. They have a few bars. No, they're drastically different, and there's schools that are far and beyond the best, and there's schools that are in the lower tier. And I think, from what I've heard, I think Virginia Tech might be a lower tier school.
No. Ooh, all right, fine. That's fine.
Is that true? Tell me, what do you think? I'm interested to know. I've never been. I don't want to diss anybody. I just never been, and I can't take a chance. What do you think?
Well, so first of all, you've been to a lot more campuses than I have, and I grew up in Blacksburg, so I'm probably biased even more than someone who just went to school there, but you might be right. I'm not going to fight you too hard.
Everyone says, even your fans are like, yeah, you're probably right. Like, that's why I have no confidence. You guys don't ensure any type of confidence, I know. So I can't go to Virginia Tech and then be out on my ass and then be like, oh, why? No, everyone told me. Even the fans told me it sucked. Why would I have any idea otherwise?
All right, fine. Let me answer your question with a question. What makes a college
not an
good?
Answer, by the way. What do you say?
What makes a college good?
So there's a couple things that make it good. And I'll give you some examples. Alabama is one of my top three campuses.
Okay.
They're so good because, one, everything's close together. A lot of the landscape of things and like where the geography of a campus really makes a big difference. For example, at Alabama, the fraternity, the bars, the fraternity row, the bars, and the stadium are all within walking distance. I mean, they're all like a half a mile from each other.
Okay.
You can see the stadium from the frats. You can see the bars from the stadium. I mean, you can see it. It's right there. And also, they win every game. So the vibes are great. They go to play like place like LSU. They don't win every game, and they don't have a great layout. I mean, from the stadium, you got to walk a mile and a half, 2 miles to get to the bar, the Tigerland. But they have like this crazy Creole enthusiasm, and like they love to eat good, they love to drink, and they love to party. It's just ratchet. And also, I mean, you got to have this weird, like, I mean, that's all, Louisiana is like Australia. It's like another country. It's just like, it's like Florida's kind of the same way. It doesn't really feel like the United States when you're in Florida. Louisiana's completely that way. It's a little bit weirder. Like, those people down there, they're so weird, but they're so cool, and they just love, and they're so passionate about football, and that's what makes that place great. And my top, they're rounding out my top three, which are LSU, Alabama, and then we just went to USC. USC Southern Cal is like, the weather's perfect. It has such a nice campus. People are, all the fraternities are on bad standing, so there's only, like, three of them that can have parties, so all the people were at three parties.
Go to the same parties? Campus. Yeah.
And then we always go to these schools and we're planning and we're talking to the people of different fraternities. And that's not all our show is, but it's always the hardest part to plan because you don't know what you're getting into. And every single school is like, well, you know, our frats, they're not really on good terms right now. Like, if your frats, like, Virginia Tech probably has frats on good terms. Like, that's what's wrong with Virginia Tech.
So basically you say they need to get in more trouble and that's what will help.
I've just never been to a school. I was like, that was awesome. And been like, wow, the frats are also in good standing.
So the problem with Virginia Tech, I was in a fraternity at Tech. I was in a frat and it was fine, but like, I liked it a lot. But the problem is if you're coming, like someone like you who wants to come from like a different school and you want to see everything, the fraternities are all spread out. There's literally like, there is no Greek row at Tech. And it's funny because like, I take it for what it is, but there are so many people who go to Tech, even kids now, they're trying to turn Virginia Tech and they try and think of themselves as like an SEC school or, you know, a true like Southern fraternity. And you get it. Like even all the schools that you've been to, like there are some things, I'm sure there are some commonalities between all of them. And Virginia Tech doesn't have that same culture, I guess, but they want to have it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think about like, if the frats aren't close to each other, it's going to be hard for the kids to get around. I mean, it's just logistics. It's like,
right,
if we can go tonight, all right, we're going to go out tonight, me and you, and we can say, and we're college students, we can either go to this bar and see how it goes, maybe get our ID taken, whatever, or we can go to frat row where there's no police and we can basically just be college students, do whatever we want, yeah, pretty much. And they're all together. So we can hit 5-6 parties in the same night. I mean, when I was in college, I hated frat life. Like, I hated the frat bros. Like,
right.
I was also on the football team. And so it's like you kind of have this natural resentment for each other because you're competing over the same girls. But, I mean, now that I'm going back, like, I get it. Like, I get the frat stuff now. I didn't before. I still think there's a lot of room for comedy with these frat guys. I think they take themselves a little too seriously.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff they're doing is hilarious and also bad. I think there's a lot of institutionalized racism in fraternity life in America, Greek life, but there's a lot of good things about them. And I've finally have got to the point where I see what's good, what's what with the frat stuff. And I mean, now that I'm 24 years old, 2 years out of college, I understand frats.
So I think you need to do this Nathan For You bar rescue type idea for Virginia Tech. You just come completely remodel the campus, put all the fraternity houses together, throw a couple like really bad apples into fraternities, get them in a lot of trouble. And then in like 5 years, Tech's a destination for places like you.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know what?
It's easy. I don't see the problem.
You can almost, these things like, first of all, if I'm going to do that anywhere, I got to clean up some stuff at Carolina. We have things.
What's wrong at Carolina?
The tailgating in North Carolina is abysmal. And there's things that we could do. I mean, if they're like, Caleb, what do you think? I got a ton of ideas for Carolina. Like, this is what you could do to make your tailgating situation better. And like, it doesn't matter to people like, oh, the tailgating's whatever. I don't like the tailgate because I like to just go see football. Okay, that's cool, but what kind of football do you like to see? Oh, you like to see good football? You like to see like the best type of players play for your team? Okay, you like to see good environments for the whole stadium's packed? The only way that's going to happen is the best players play for your team. The only way that's going to happen is if the stadium is packed. So it's like, what's the – is it the apple or the egg? Or you know, what's first? Well, first is you got to put people – enthusiasm into the program, and you got to build it out through, and let's just be honest, one of the main ways is through drinking. But you got to get your fans got to be drinking before the games. They got to come to the games. They can't just be doing wine and cheese. Like, we need fans who are SEC drunk and that type of support. When a recruit comes from high school, they're not like, oh, you know, these fans are, they're drunk, that's why they're so passionate. They're like, these fans care about this team. But like I found, and maybe this might rattle people, that's just not the case. Like, And SEC, the reason why the fans are crazy, those fans are drunk. Like, those are just 100,000 drunk people in Neyland Stadium. That's what it is. It's not that they're net more or less passionate about their football. People at Carolina are plenty passionate about North Carolina football. They just can't tailgate.
Right.
There's nowhere to tailgate. Same thing for the Dean Dome. People go to the Dean Dome, this crazy one, like this wonderful, great reputation stadium. There's no noise. Why?
Right.
Why is there no noise? Well, let me tell you something. I know why there's no noise.
There's no booze.
Drinking. The answer was drinking.
So I guess what you're saying is if I'm a booster at North Carolina, I shouldn't funnel my money to, I'm not going to name names, but let's just funnel it towards the recruiting side of things. I'm going to buy more beer for the people outside
funnel
the stadium.
Funnel it towards funnels.
Yeah, exactly. Literally funneling towards the fans. We're just going to funnel more beer.
Yeah, don't be a booster, be a boozer. No, I don't want to come across... I don't want to come across like I'm just saying the only thing that matters is drinking. What I'm saying is the tailgate atmosphere, like we're doing Barstool 50-year tailgating show, that's important. Like, that's a very important part of the entire process. It's very integral to a winning team. That's kind of my point. And if you can't have a tailgating, which is like, what is tailgating? Well, it's drinking and eating before the game. That's all it is. If you don't have that, you're missing a key piece of the puzzle, which is a winning football team. Or winning basketball team, whatever it is. So if you want that, you got to have good tailgating. Now, unfortunately, I've heard Virginia Tech is like Carolina. We have room to improve.
Hold on now. I wouldn't look. There's a lot of room to improve at Virginia Tech, but tailgating, I think, is actually pretty strong. Now, it may not be the same. Like when you talk about the college kids, it's a little spread out. It's gotten better over the last few years. But like you said, inside the stadium, there's no comparison between Keenan and Lane Stadium. Come on. Caleb.
Yeah, I mean, they're both nice stadiums.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
You guys have had a traditionally better team, but I mean, if you put it, you know what? You guys have a great atmosphere. You have a great fan base, passionate fan base. And
yeah,
I think you guys do a really good job. I think Carolina could be pretty good too.
Yeah, Carolina could be a lot like Virginia Tech. I agree with that. I mean, I think they're super similar schools in a lot of ways. So yeah, I'm with you. I think that this last thing I want to talk to you about, Caleb, is the Clemson game this weekend is a big chance for Virginia Tech on the football field to prove that it's, you know, maybe a top 10 program. I mean, it's certainly on the cusp of that. If they win, they're going to be in the top 10 in the rankings. And look, back when Beamer had it rolling 10, 15 years ago, I mean, Tech was arguably the best program in the ACC. And I mean, they're not going to be better than Clemson. You know, it's more than one win, I should say, for them to overtake Clemson as, you know, the best program in the conference, or obviously Florida State, but it'll be a huge step in that direction. And that'll help Lane Stadium kind of get some of its reputation back. So you stop comparing it with Keenan or whatever. But what do you think about the game this week? Let's talk one football question. I mean, you're this former supervisor of morale. I need a morale boost because I'm not feeling super confident about this weekend. Tell me that we have a chance.
Well, here's my recommendation for Virginia Tech coaches, players, staff, fans, faculty.
Okay.
You guys got to win this weekend.
You guys
got to win because the reason why Clemson is beating everyone, like we were talking about earlier, it's because they have the best players. I mean, and people are like, oh, that's an easy analysis. Well, it's actually just the truth. Like, you can listen to people on ESPN, your former employer, and what they talk 24 hours a day about the bits and pieces of the game. It really, let's be honest, the X's and O's are important. It comes down to how good the players are, and the reason the players are good is from recruiting. So the only way Virginia Tech is going to be able to reestablish itself as the most dominant program in the ACC is they have to beat Clemson in recruiting. And the thing that Clemson has in recruiting right now has, first of all, they had one of the best facilities, maybe the best facility in the ACC. Well, they just got rid of that. They built a brand new, I want to say it's like $50 million facility. They just built it. They have a brand new facility. They have amazing fans. They have everything in recruiting outside of, you know, the wins and losses, which is an important part. They have everything in the world, and you're not going to beat Virginia Tech. I mean, excuse me, you're not going to beat Clemson
right.
or your Virginia Tech in recruiting at that kind of stuff. You're not going to have their facilities right now. You're not going to have the fan base they have right now coming off the national championship. But the one thing you could have is you could have a win this weekend.
Right.
Because any given Saturday, you know that. You know that you guys have a talented team, and you know when it all boils down to it, the slide into the pool or whatever they have at Clemson doesn't help them this Saturday. It helped them get the players they'll play with this Saturday, but it doesn't help them this Saturday. So if you guys can win and you can use that as a tool for recruiting, it's the only way you can ever balance out the scales. Because I tell you what, if Clemson keeps winning and they keep winning the ACC and they keep winning national championships or they're in that caliber of team, they're only going to get more resources for recruiting and their players are only going to get better.
Yeah.
And it's just like it's a never-ending – you know what it is? It's just like the entire like everything like America's built on. It's like the rich are going to get richer. Like that's the way college football's set up, and I don't hate it. So what you guys have to do is you got to level the playing fields, and you can recruit. I think I really do believe.
Yeah.
As like former player, former recruit at one time, like you can win with you know what they got better facilities, but I mean, do you want to have pool tables or do you want to come win games? Like that makes sense to high school players. And if you're like, yo, listen, we beat Clemson, you know, three times in a row, that means more than Clemson saying, well, listen, come here and you can play ping pong during, you know, meeting.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right.
I hope you do. I hope it bounces out. I don't want Clemson to be some powerhouse for the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I think I said it 2 months ago. I think Clemson's going to be one of the two or three best programs in the country. They may be as good as Alabama in a couple of years. I mean, they're already basically as good as Alabama. They beat them last year.
Like the argument, they're better.
Yeah, I mean, you could. You absolutely could. And I just think the thing Alabama's done, Caleb, they've done it for like 10 years now. I mean, they've been number one in the poll for 10 straight years. So that's the level they're at. I think Clemson, like you said, everything, I don't have to repeat it, they are on their way to something like an Alabama. But Virginia Tech isn't that far behind if they can win this week and, like you said, prove that they belong, you know, on the field with the likes of Clemson. I mean, they almost beat them last year, so we'll see.
And I hope you guys win. Like, I'm rooting against Clemson every week.
There we go.
We've been to Clemson. We got a lot of fans in Clemson. I can't stand Clemson.
Well, thanks, man. That means a lot to me. I'm glad we get in this on a positive note. So I'll let you go now, man. Real happy for everything that you're doing, man. I remember when you had like 800 Twitter followers. I looked at you the other day. You're at like 70,000. You're just blowing up left and right.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you. I really do. I appreciate you picking me out of the weeds and giving me an opportunity. And I'll never forget. And I appreciate you. I think you got a good show here going, and I wish you success as well, my friend.
And thanks to Caleb Presley for joining me. But now the Barstool takeover continues with Julie Stewart Binks, an old friend of mine. She works for Barstool. She does the Barstool Tailgate Show on Facebook Live every week. Biggest game of the week. New thing that they're doing this season. A lot of fun. She also is a sideline reporter for ESPN, does MLS, now doing some college football as well. Now, JSB, I got to start here. I'm not the first person to ask you this, but you're the first person I think that's done this little, you're kind of batting from both sides of the plate here with Barstool and ESPN. How is that going so far?
Yes. Well, first of all, Josh, great to talk to you again. One of my first friends in LA back in the old One for Fun days when we worked there. Oh, and
there's a tear to my eye.
Like eternity ago, but it was only 4 years ago. But yeah, it's kind of like a weird dichotomy because it's like two different, very, very different jobs. It's like sideline reporting, you know, is storytelling, it's injury updates, it's you know, everything you see and hear down on the field. And then you go to Barstool and it is not buttoned up. It's all the weird stuff. It's very personality driven and it's very different. Like you could crack a beer and go on the show, which obviously you can't do that on the sidelines. So right. I've only had like 2 weeks of this so far. I'm just having my second tailgate show this Saturday at Virginia Tech. I know how you feel about that.
Wait a minute. I'll see you there.
Are you? Oh, no way.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. Awesome. My first time in Blacksburg, so...
Oh, all right. Well, this podcast is going to take an entirely different turn. There we go. All right. So you're going to Blacksburg this weekend.
Learning all about America right now.
Heck yeah. Let's do it.
So yeah, we have the show, obviously, Clemson at Virginia Tech, and then Friday night doing Miami at Duke, which will be awesome because obviously back from 2015 and just both teams doing really well to start the season. So Friday nights are always kind of like an interesting night for college football because it's sort of like a bit different, but nonetheless super exciting. So I've been, people who are listening to this might not know a lot about me, but I'm Canadian. So I'm going to put that out there right now. Maybe you've heard it in my accent, but we didn't really grow up with a whole lot of this this sort of college football thing. There is college football in Canada, but I'm like really getting to immerse myself in all these neat cultures. And it's kind of like, I get to see it through fresh eyes and it's great. Like I was at LSU last weekend. I'd never been to Baton Rouge and that was wild. Although that game was like very weird against Syracuse where like all the fans left at halftime. And then Syracuse nearly pulled off the upset, but
I know.
Yeah, it was wild. And then I've been to Ames, Iowa for Iowa State against Iowa, which is awesome too. So I'm making my rounds around college football country. And yeah, so that's sort of where I'm at right now.
That's a heck of a plug right there. You're a professional. I love that.
I know how to use words sometimes.
There
so.
You go. So I guess, you know, you're going to Blacksburg. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to go back. You mentioned when we met back in L.A., and I don't know if you remember this, but we were a few cocktails deep at the Victorian out at Santa Monica. And
God.
See, when I get drunk, I just talk more about sports. So it's the reason why I don't get any girls naturally. But I did talk to you, for the record, did not go home with you, as it happens with any girl I talk to about college football. But I spent like an hour and a half just like telling you about the SEC. And for some reason, you like stuck around and like listened the whole time. And I like to think that I was the inspiration for your career.
I was like, what is this thing this drunken man speaks of right now? It sounds good.
You were like, wait, the field goal posts are the back of the end zone? Like, what? How does this work? Yeah. So, you know, like I said, I just want to take a little bit of credit.
Like, what? How are we going to function about that?
Yeah. So what's the biggest difference between Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and Saskatchewan?
Oh, God. Actually, not a whole lot. both are pretty redneck.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Both have absolutely nothing going on besides that exact team. It's actually, I found it similar because it's what everyone in that area lives and breathes and eats like every single day. But the tailgating is just insane. And it was, you know, it was starting from like 2 days earlier when we got in and everyone's wearing LSU stuff anywhere we went. And it wasn't even a conference game, which like you can imagine if like Alabama comes there or Florida or anything kind of like that would be insane. So, you know, it was neat and it's been really cool getting to be, I sometimes pinch myself because, you know, I'm sitting in a meeting with Ed Ogeron and I'm like, wow, this is incredible. Like, how did I even get here? You know, I'm a Canadian that's been covering hockey and soccer and all this kind of stuff. And, I have done a lot of sideline reporting and those elements still transfer quite a bit to college football. Of course the games are like extremely different, but just like having a nose for what's going on and kind of following what's happening on the sidelines, because that's what you're down there for, is to see kind of like what's happening that people can't see and hear. And that's been wild. I think the biggest difference for me is that I have to get my stamina up for like walking around for 4 hours, which is very difficult.
It's harder than it looks.
I need a wheel. I need like one of those motorized like scooters by the end of the game, because I'm used to doing MLS games, which are 90 minutes. And that's like done and dusted, easy peasy. Like, it, you know, it's an hour and a half. That's essentially not even half of the game in college football.
Right. Like, and aren't both teams on the same sideline?
Yes. So I actually don't even move. I can just stand right between them. And the access is way different in MLS because you can talk to coaches during the game, which if I tried to do that, I think I'd probably get shot. Definitely not in Alabama. It's not happening. But they've been like welcoming me with open arms. And I definitely with the Barstool stuff, you know, I can't even tell you. I didn't even realize sort of the breadth and the depth that like Barstool has, especially in college sports. Like just everywhere I've gone now, you know, I've never been to LSU and I have all these LSU guys coming up to me because now they know me that I'm going to be at Barstool. And I thought, wow, this is like a whole new world. And going into bars down there, you see the Barstool, you know, Saturdays are for the boys everywhere. I'm like, wow, this is something cool. So I'm like really pumped to be kind of cracking into this whole world. And I appreciate everyone who has, you know, helped me, you know, be a part of it, because I'm a foreigner and I'm going to acknowledge that, but I'm still a storyteller. So that's just what it is.
Yeah. So before we started recording, you were kind of talking about how you almost are able to bring like a fresh set of eyes to college football, because most people who grow up in this country, especially if you grow up in the South or if you just follow college football at all, I mean, you have college football is very rooted in tradition, and whether it's the tailgate scene or whether it's the way we rank the teams or we pick the bowl games. I mean, God, we're still doing bowl games for the last 100 years, even though every other major league in the entire world has a playoff. And we finally, about 3 years ago, figured out, hey, maybe that's a good idea. It's kind of interesting to see you come in without any really, you know, preconceived notions about how college football works. I mean, what have you learned about college football maybe that you didn't know? Not just necessarily the tailgate scene, but the game itself or the environment. I don't know. I mean, just something that you learned.
Well, I mean, I love exactly everything you said with the traditions. And a lot of them I'm learning as I go. And many of the big ones I've already kind of seen and heard of just from watching games. But a lot of our viewers aren't always just the school viewers. You know, if we have a game like Friday night on ESPN, anyone in the country could be watching that, and they might not even be a football fan. But it's kind of like, what's interesting and cool and neat about, you know, maybe going to Duke, and what kind of traditions do they have that if you are at the game, you see it. But if you're not at the game, like, how can we show that to people on TV? And it's not, and it's expanding on it. It's taking the tradition and maybe what is new about it today, or where does it factor into today? Or maybe there's someone on the sideline that's a former player, or even there's always been actors or celebrities that can kind of take it to the next level. So it's not just telling people something that they already know. It's taking something that they find very sacred and making it relevant to that day, or to, you know, whatever the atmosphere might be, or, you know, every game is different. And that's what's kind of neat. Like, no game is the same, regardless of the tradition and the background. And because teams come into every game, whether they're missing players, whether they've lost games. And that's what we love about sports. It's like, you just never know what's going to happen. So what I kind of find it, as I've done so much soccer, is that it's so similar to kind of that tribal aspect of soccer in a way. You know, when I go to games and I cover games, you know, there's just, they have crazy tailgates beforehand, and they have the march to the match. They have just drums and flags and everything. And it's very similar to college football, but also very different. But I kind of understand where that's just that fire and that tradition. And again, tribalism is sort of exactly how I've figured out what it is.
No, it's spot on. It's very ceremonial. Like, there's just a process to everything, from the pregame to where we tailgate to the, like you said, the march and the walk into the stadium for the players. Like, everything is just so scripted and, like I said, rooted in tradition. It's really, really cool. There are a ton of similarities. It's funny that everybody in America seems to have this, you know, thumb their nose up at soccer, but all right, the games may be different, but when you strip it down, they're a lot more similar than you realize.
Traditions, and like, you know, those ones might be more European, or they might be, you know, from the Mexican league or like Argentina or anything like that. But it definitely goes back to that traditions and history, right? And kind of everyone's own experiences with it. It makes it kind of, I know it sounds so stupid, but it's like a fabric that makes up what we see on TV and what we see when we go to a game. Right. And it's really neat because it's like it's a collective, like everyone is playing a part in it somehow. And, you know, we don't see that in a lot of other sports. And I've, again, like, you grew up with it, you've been a part of it. And I came to the U.S. and I, you know, I went to a school with college football. We would call it university football in Canada, but
careful now. You can't go around saying that down here.
Yeah. I'm like, so like,
what the hell is this girl doing?
But, you know, it had that spirited sort of same type of feeling. And so I've seen that there would never be as many people at the games, like maybe 2,000 people at the games, which is unheard of here.
Unless you go to a Miami game. Is this game at Duke or at Miami?
It's at Duke.
All right, you'll have more than 2,000. If it was at Miami, you'd probably feel right at home.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
You'll learn. You'll learn about the Miami. It's not the best. Let's just put it that way.
No, okay. Well, I mean, especially now with everything they've gone through, like, that's what, again, you know, we talk about how everything
is
different.
Okay, well, now I'm an asshole. I wasn't talking about the weather. I'm just saying.
Like, oh, yeah, this guy's a real jerk. People lost their homes. That's why there's no one there anymore. No, I'm
cool.
Joking.
All right, now I'm that guy.
No, but like, see, even that's, you know, all these different storylines when we come into games, like they have had that long layoff of like 20 days between games and people getting kind of displaced from their homes and them having to stay in Orlando and just all these different things that then contribute to what's going on the field, or even what they're playing for, what's in the back of their mind. So all that stuff, like, I've loved it. I've loved every single second of covering it. Has it been a lot of work? Yes. I'm sitting at my kitchen table right now with DVDs of Duke, Northwestern, Duke, Baylor, Duke, North Carolina. And I have Miami stuff everywhere. And it's been going back to school, to kind of learn everything. But it's been exciting. So I'm pumped to be a part of your world now.
Well, you're part of my world and you're about to be part of my hometown, because when are you getting into Blacksburg? I need to know the details here before I start giving you all my advice.
I hate to disappoint you. I'm not going to be there for a long time, because I come in Saturday morning, because I have the game at Duke the night before. And then I actually have to leave that Saturday night, because I have to get to an MLS game in Philadelphia for Sunday.
You work too hard.
I don't get paid enough. That is one thing for this.
You got two streams of income. You don't get paid enough. Come on, you work too hard.
Well, it will start working itself out, Josh. That's what I think. Those big bucks will be coming in hot. But for the time being, I'm a homeless man right now. But I'm a happy homeless man. So it'll be good. You should come to our tailgate show for sure.
Oh God, yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be in the parking lot somewhere. We have a big bus, so.
Good.
We'll have to get you. Yeah, you have to get pretty hammered though, because that's the vibe.
Not a problem. Don't think that's going to be an issue. This is our biggest game. A little history lesson for you. I'm going to give you your research right now. This is the biggest game.
Yeah, I'm taking notes.
Okay, get the pen and paper out. This is the biggest game, seriously, for Tech, I think, in 18 years. The last time we had a game this big or with this much at stake was 18 years ago. We played played for the national championship game. If we won, we were going to make it into that national title game. That was in 1999. And, it's been a while. I mean, College Game Day came here 10 years ago, but that was after the shooting on April 16th. So kind of weird circumstances.
Wow. So it's been 10 years since they've come.
Yeah. And really, I mean, that was a special circumstance. You go back, it's been 12 years, and 2005 was the last time that it came for a big game. We played Miami that year. May or may not have gotten our ass kicked. But we're not going to talk about it. So it's been a long time. I mean, this is a team at Virginia Tech that, I mean, I grew up going to the games. We were a marquee program for over a decade. And then the last 4 or 5 years have been rough. And now with a new coach and Justin Fuente, I mean, the program's back on the rise. And it's an opportunity. Look, they're huge underdogs on Saturday night. But it's an opportunity for a big win, that if they win, I think it'll set the program in a different trajectory going forward. But you're not going to talk about any of that crap. You're going to be out with drunk fans.
Of course. It would be insane if they win. That would be the hugest story of all time right now.
I know. Well, that's – trust me. We're crossing our fingers. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Anything can happen, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Man, I wish you were staying there longer. What about your coach? You have Dave Portnoy, El Presidente.
And Pat McAfee.
And Pat. Now, are they going to be there Saturday night? Somebody's got to be there afterwards.
Yeah, they'll probably be there. They'll probably be there Friday night too.
All right, so you need to connect us here, because somebody's got to show them around Blacksburg. Caleb Presley was on this podcast, earlier in this podcast, talking a whole lot of shit about Blacksburg, and I had to try and defend Blacksburg, and now I know that Dave and Pat are coming, and you're going to be there for an hour. I've got to show you guys a good time.
I mean, they'll definitely need some good restaurant recommendations, bar scene.
Oh yeah.
Especially the Saturday night. We don't usually go to the game. I don't know if they're. I don't think they're gonna go. So if there's a place for them to go, we went we went out in Louisville last time and watched it somewhere.
Nice.
We should go to the game. I think that would be a good change of pace, considering we're in the parking lot. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, JSB, this has been great. I'm going to let you go. I'm super excited for what you're doing, though. This is great. Welcome to the college football family. I'm real happy about this.
I know. I feel like I've broken through. I see Adnan Virk and Jesse Palmer covering college football, and I'm like, why can't I? They're Canadian too, right? So it's I love that college football is embracing us Canadians, because we like it, and I love it. And I mean, it's so neat getting to talk with these college kids are so great to talk with, because they have so many interesting stories that no one knows about, and you hear and some of them are so emotional. They've had really traumatic upbringings or like have gone through crazy stuff. And that's what's, you know, we know so much about the guys in NFL or in baseball or NBA or whatever. And it's like, these guys are just, they're just coming out there. So it's really neat.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, there's no more, I mean, maybe soccer is the only one I think that comes close, but there's no more loyal fan bases out there than some of these college football programs. The passion, the energy, it's really, really cool. And it's something that's cool to be a part of. It's obviously why I'm doing what I'm doing, but you see it and now you're a part of it. And that's awesome. So we'll catch up. I'll be at the tailgate show on Saturday. I'm trying to campaign to be the guest picker on College Game Day. That's not working, it's not working out too well right now. I think they're going to go with some guy named like Frank Beamer or Michael Vick or somebody like that.
That's like a tough one to get on there for that. But I mean, hey, look at what you're doing right now. You're interviewing me. Like, you got this down, so I think you can do whatever you want.
That's what I'm saying. Now joking. I've reached the
obviously.
Top.
Yeah, right. Well, come by the tailgate booth. We have like a natty ice whatever like bus that comes around with us. So
nice.
There's like free beer and stuff.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to see you there for sure. So this has been great. I enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you on Saturday.
Thanks, Josh.
All right. Thanks to Julie Stewart Binks for joining me and Caleb Presley as well. That was a lot of fun, man. That was an awesome episode. A little bit different direction than what we've done in the last few episodes. No Bruce Feldman, no Stuart Mandel. We just had some fun. Look, this is what you're going to get on this podcast. We're going to talk gambling. We're going to talk X's and O's, but we're also going to have some fun. We're going to talk about the tailgates. We're going to enjoy all the aspects of college football. And that's what we got today with Julie and Caleb as well. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please give me your feedback. Tweet me at Josh Parcell. I am contending for the guest picker spot on College Game Day. I'm not giving up hope just yet. We still have a few days left. Go tweet at College Game Day. Hashtag get Josh on Game Day. I don't know. Let's make something up. Let's get it trending. And we'll have more podcasts coming your way on Thursday. We'll have the radio show coming to you in a podcast form. And then Friday, we'll have the gambling episode as well. Take the points. Thank you guys for listening. Please rate and review the show. I'll see you guys later this week. Josh Parcell, College Football Country. I'm out.